Welcome to the program God and Country, where current events, politics, prophecy are discussed in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is number 4 in the series, Discerning the Rise of Islam. But given the Islamic conflict in the Middle East, I suspect that I'll be doing many more programs about discerning the rise of Islam. The subject for program 4 is answering this question. Is the coming kingdom of the Antichrist and the Antichrist himself Islamic? Who is the Antichrist, you ask? Well, the Bible speaks about this coming world leader called the Antichrist. The Apostle John writes to believers in 1 John 2:18, "You have heard that the Antichrist is coming." And they did certainly hear about the Antichrist. The prophet Daniel spoke about a coming empire, like a beast, led by an individual, a demagogue. Daniel 7:25, he will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the High One, and he will intend to make alterations in times and in laws. Then in Daniel chapter 9, one will come who will make a complete desolation, bringing about the abomination of desolation. And in Matthew 24, Jesus prophesied that the abomination of desolation was still to come in the future. And he instructed his disciples that when they see that abomination, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, then there will be a great tribulation such as the world has never seen. The Apostle Paul spoke in detail about the coming Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He is called the man of lawlessness and the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. And of course, in the book of the Revelation, the final book in the New Testament, the Antichrist and his global empire are mentioned quite often. He causes people to take his mark in order to buy or sell. Revelation 13, they worship the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who is able to wage war with him? For has given him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies. An authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. It was also given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. An authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain." So given all of the biblical texts about the Antichrist, the people of God have been well aware of a coming Antichrist figure who will unite the world in repudiation of and a battle against God and his people. Now, some have accused Christians of looking for the coming of the Antichrist rather than looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. But there's really no conflict here. Christians can give proper weight to both prophecies. And I must also add that even though we're looking for the Antichrist, we're well aware that there are many forerunners or foreshadows of the Antichrist. As the Apostle John writes in 1 John 2:18, "Even now, many Antichrists have appeared." Nero was an Antichrist. Hitler, Stalin, Mohammed, Genghis Khan, Attila the Hun. These men have shown every generation the evil that is latent in the world. And all of these men foreshadowed the great Antichrist. Now, the traditional theological opinion has been that the Antichrist is going to be some European leader who builds his empire off of the countries that were once part of the old Roman Empire. According to the book of Daniel and the book of the Revelation, the Antichrist has a confederation of 10 nations. The prophecy in Daniel was that four empires would arise: Babylon, Persia, Greece, and then Rome. And in the days of the fourth empire, Rome, the God of heaven would destroy the kingdoms of men and set up a kingdom that will never end. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And Christ did set up his spiritual kingdom in the days of the Roman Empire. And the conventional wisdom is that the fourth empire, this fourth beast, will come back to life in the last days. Revelation 13:3. And then God will fulfill his promise of physically setting up his kingdom and judging the world, kingdom of the Antichrist and the Antichrist himself. Did you get all that? Now, with this view, the church in the 20th century has seen the League of Nations, the United Nations, and even the European Union as the groundwork for the coming global empire of the Antichrist. I have hanging on the wall of my office a stamp commemorating the 25th anniversary of the European Union. And on that stamp is a woman riding on a beast. The beast has 10 horns. It's riding on many waters on seven hills, which is the exact description of the kingdom of the Antichrist found in Revelation 17. However, since 9/11, there have been a number of prophetic teachers in evangelical Christianity who are now saying that the kingdom of the Antichrist will not be European or Jewish or Roman, but that the Antichrist will be Islamic. His kingdom will be an Islamic caliphate, a resurrection of the old Ottoman Empire, confederation of 10 Muslim states. And since you will be hearing a lot about this view in days ahead, I believe it's important for you to understand this teaching and hence this program. And I will tell you right on the outset that I'm not convinced that this new view is the correct view. But I'm not even convinced that the conventional European view, the Left Behind series view of the apocalypse, is the correct view either. Let me just begin by quickly listing the arguments for the Islamic Antichrist view. Then I'll comment on them later. This is a very big subject, and I'll try my best to simplify it. First, throughout the Old Testament, the nations that are destroyed by the coming of the Messiah are those nations that surround Israel: Edom, Moab, the Ammonites, the Assyrians, the Ishmaelites. Numbers 24:14, the forehead of Moab will be crushed. Isaiah 25, Moab shall be trampled down. Isaiah 25 and Micah 5, Israel shall be delivered from the Assyrians. Obadiah 1:17, there'll be no survivors of the house of Esau. Ezekiel 25, the judgment is on Edom. Ezekiel 30, the judgment is on Cush, which is Babylon, and the sword is upon Egypt. And then Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. The land of the Philistines, the Canaanites, the Cushites, Gaza, and Assyria will all be destroyed in the last days. And the Bible then speaks about all of these judgments coming upon nations in regard to how they treated Israel. And these are all Islamic nations that presently surround Israel, that are warring with Israel. And the argument is that the Bible never refers to European nations in the context of judgment. Second, these prophetic teachers who believe in the Islamic Antichrist go to great lengths to show that the enemy that will attack Israel in the last days, described as Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38, is not the land of Russia, but the land of Turkey, which is due north of Israel. One well-known teacher for this view believes that the kingdom of the Antichrist will be the revived Islamic Ottoman Empire centered in Turkey, and that the Antichrist will come out of Turkey, the land of the Turks, and he will be the Assyrian spoken of in Isaiah 25 and in Micah 5. And he goes on to teach that the fourth empire spoken of in Daniel is not the Roman Empire, but the Islamic Empire that began in the 7th century. And the two legs of Nebuchadnezzar's statue are not to be interpreted as the divided Roman Empire, but the divided Islamic Empire into Shiites and Sunnis. The 10-nation confederacy, the 10 toes of Nebuchadnezzar's statue, will be 10 Islamic nations. And in Revelation 13, the beast that is described as surprising everyone by coming back to life is not the revived Roman Empire, but the revived Ottoman Empire. Number 3, the animus, or the hatred, that the Islamic nations have toward Israel is unprecedented. Who else would surround Israel with armies but an Islamic Antichrist kingdom? Number 4, the Bible speaks about the Antichrist setting up his seat in the temple of God, 2 Thessalonians 2, and it just so happens that a Muslim mosque right now sits on top of the rubble of the old Jewish temple. Number 5, in the 7-year Great Tribulation spoken of in the book of the Revelation, it refers to Christians being beheaded. What other religion or government beheads people besides Islam? Number 6. Muslims today are anticipating the coming of the 12th Imam, or the Mahdi, who will organize Islamic nations into an empire, take over the world, and destroy the Jewish state. ISIS fighters are motivated by their desire to bring about the reign of their Messiah, who fits the biblical description of the Antichrist. Daniel 13:36 speaks about the Antichrist honoring a God whom his fathers did not know. Could this new God be Allah? So those are the main arguments that the kingdom of the Antichrist will be a local Islamic situation in the Middle East. However, Revelation chapter 13, verse 3 states that the whole earth will follow the beast, the Antichrist and his kingdom. In Revelation 13:7, authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the Lamb's Book of Life. Unless the entire world becomes Islamic, it is hard to imagine the world following an Islamic Antichrist. But the proponents of the Islamic Antichrist view do not suggest that possibility. They deal with the Revelation 13 text as being a figure of speech, a hyperbole, an exaggeration for emphasis. And they will refer back to Old Testament texts, such as where Nebuchadnezzar says that God made him ruler over all. And we know that Nebuchadnezzar didn't rule over the entire earth. And they'll reference Cyrus, the king of Persia, who says that the God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of earth. And we know that Cyrus was only referring to the known world. And so these teachers say that when the Bible refers to the whole world, it's only referring to the Middle Eastern world, that which is in Israel's purview. Well, it is true that the Bible does use hyperbole. But maybe the events in the book of the Revelation will be a complete fulfillment of these smaller foreshadowings. When we get to the end of the world, there will be a great tribulation such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now. It will be the completion of Satan's goal that began in Genesis 11 and the Tower of Babel, an entire world unified in rebellion to God. And let's also remember that the movement by intellectuals and civic leaders in the West for a one-world global government is very big. Under the right circumstances, war, poverty, the UN could easily morph into a one-world government, and the people of the world will gladly welcome the false promise of no more war and no more poverty. Now, certainly, the Antichrist and his kingdom might have enemies. Daniel 11 speaks about the king of the south colliding with the Antichrist. But actually, those prophecies might be talking about Antiochus Epiphanes in 160 BC. But nevertheless, we do read in the Revelation that the whole empire of the Antichrist eventually breaks down and it ends with all nations fighting each other at Armageddon. But for a while, it does seem like the Antichrist will gain some world dominance. Now, as far as these Old Testament texts only referring to final judgment upon the nations surrounding Israel, there are many other texts that teach that God will be judging all nations on the last days. In the book of Joel, I will bring all nations down to the valley of Jehoshaphat and enter into judgment with them there. Isaiah chapter 24, the Lord lays the earth waste. The inhabitants of the earth are burned and few men are left. All the kings of the earth are judged. And when you read the book of the Revelation, first a quarter of the earth is destroyed, then another third of the earth is destroyed. Sounds like the judgment of God on the kingdom of the Antichrist is global. The references to Israel's enemy Assyria in the book of Isaiah and in the book of Micah may simply be a reference to the enemies that currently plagued Israel. This was the enemy at hand that the people could relate to. Later, the enemy was Babylon under Jeremiah. But these nations, Babylon, Assyria, are a type of the enemies of God. And it's interesting that there are many references to the destruction of Edom in the Old Testament. The Messiah is spoken of as coming from a battle against Edom, Isaiah 63 and Revelation 19. But the title Edom is the same form as the word Adam. And it's often translated mankind, as in Amos chapter 9, verse 12. So Edom is really a type of the entire human race. Now, personally, I would love for the Antichrist and his kingdom to simply be a Middle Eastern issue, a showdown between the sons of Ishmael and the sons of Isaac. That would mean that the United States, for all of its errors, would be kept from being a part of the Antichrist kingdom. Our Christian heritage would have saved us from that guilt. And in the future, we would either be complicit spectators or in opposition to the kingdom of the Antichrist in alliance with Israel. But I think it's wiser to prepare and to watch out for the global kingdom of the Antichrist. And here's one of the big problems I have with many prophetic teachers. They don't simply write books and articles and give lectures saying this is one possibility to consider. They all put forth their theories as if it's the gospel truth and everyone else is wrong. In preparing for this program, I spent an entire day reading up on the Islamic Antichrist view. And the main problem I saw with these prophetic teachers is that they dogmatically believed that their theory is absolutely the only right and true interpretation of the Bible. And there needs to be greater humility in regard to teaching prophecy, especially given the fact that so many prophetic teachers in the history of the church have been proven to be wrong. And we're not there yet. We don't know how things will turn. And I don't really see it necessary for anyone's spiritual welfare to close oneself into one opinion. The spiritually mature believer should understand and be open to all possible scenarios. Maybe Islam is simply a catalyst that the Antichrist will use to gain power. After Islamic radicals attack Israel, and maybe even drop nuclear bombs on Western cities, then the Antichrist comes in offering peace, offering a solution. I can't help thinking of Machiavelli's book, The Prince, a compilation of demonic philosophy concerning how to rule the world. And in that book, he describes an evil prince who uses an evil governor to do his dirty work. The people hate the governor, so the prince comes along to destroy the very governor he sent to do the dirty work. And the prince looks like a hero to the people. Yet all along, he was planning and doing the evil that he would conquer in order to bring about more evil. I can imagine Satan inspiring Islam to be his scapegoat, his tool to get into power. Now, some have even taught that the Antichrist will be Jewish, in that he's coming to imitate the Messiah. And the plan might be for many Jews to follow him. As Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 43, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. Or maybe the Antichrist will be a Gentile like Antiochus Epiphany. He was the one who brought about the first abomination desolation in 165 BC. I also imagine that the goal of the devil may be to get the entire world to follow after him. I remember one teacher suggesting that Satan's goal will likely be to use democracy, not tyranny, to gain power. For the devil gets greater satisfaction in having all mankind vote him into power rather than forcing himself upon the world. Now, will Islam play a role in the last day? Absolutely. But be prepared for many twistings and turnings of events. Satan's clever. He's sophisticated. He's smart. The whole world will be deceived by him. The scriptures say that he will be so good at deception that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. He will bring together Muslims and Christians and Buddhists and Hindus and secularists. Who knows? Maybe the kingdom of the Antichrist will be five kings from the western part of the Roman Empire, apostate Christianity, and five kings from the eastern part of the old Roman Empire, Islam. So by way of conclusion, rather than going away with a certain opinion that the Antichrist will be Islamic or the Antichrist will be a European leader, don't go away with any dogmatic opinion. Say to the prophetic teacher, those are interesting theories. I will keep them in mind. But the Bible doesn't give us specific details. We have to wait and see. Stop reading the Bible for secret apocalyptic clues. As if God has hidden clues in the Bible so that we can decipher who is the Antichrist. And why does one even need to take a position? How does that even help the Christian spiritually? Or even help evangelize the world by holding to a certain detailed prophetic position? I think some immature Christians just love to argue for argument's sake. The evil around us still needs to be identified, exposed, fought against in the exact same way, regardless of who is the Antichrist. The only thing we're now learning is that Islam will play a key role in the last days. What that role is has yet to be seen. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. You can listen to this entire series or download it at godandcountryradio.org. Email us from the website, and we will send you a free CD of this entire series. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for making God and Country a part of your weekly discipleship. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we are so glad that it's not for us to know the times or the seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority. Let us learn discernment. Let us watch for your return. But keep us from the arrogance of presumption. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.